Beginning at verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again unto heaven. Now when Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto this house and to hear words of thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Peter. We thank you, Lord, that you gave him the keys to open up the Jews and the Gentiles to the salvation that you brought. We thank you, Lord, that we have this testimony that we can rejoice in. If there's anyone here that needs to know you and is not saved, I ask you, Lord, to touch their hearts and spirit and let them be drawn unto thee. And may they be saved before it's everlastingly too late. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this good crowd. Ask your blessing to be upon the message. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a little hoarse. I don't know exactly why, but such is life. You know, we got a certain man in Caesarea Philippi called Cornelius, a centurion. Now, a centurion was a big Roman soldier. He had a lot of men under him, maybe 100 men, maybe more. At any rate, he was a rich man, and it says that he gave alms, and that's to poor people. He backed the Jews, evidently. He prayed to God continually, and evidently he thought that the God of the Jews was God. Seems to me like that is in my mind. And that as the way the testimony comes, his prayers and his alms are come up before a memorial. Shame on me. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. That's an interesting verse. What does God see from you? Wow. How about that? Thy prayers and thine alms. Every time you give a dime or a dollar or $100, God pays attention. Every time you cuss and swear and fuss, God pays attention.
Amen.
You notice God's got his mind on you. Now, I can't imagine having all the billions of people and him knowing everything about everybody. I just cannot imagine that. God is too big for my mind.
Amen.
When we think about how complicated this world is, even your DNA, that you could take a little piece of me right here and absolutely duplicate me. Isn't that something? Wow. And God made that. Did you happen to see the eclipse?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen an eclipse? Do you know they can predict that years in advance? Have you ever really got a good look at the stars? I had a milkman that was in one of the pastors that one of the churches I pastored when I was in college. And he got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to milk. His cows had to be milked morning and night, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. No days off for a dairy man. No days off. He said, would you like to see my telescope? I was his pastor and he was in the church. I said, sure. He said, well, come on out about 2 o'clock. So I did. He made his own telescope. It was about 6 foot long and about this big around. He pointed it out and we looked at various things that he showed me. And then he pointed to a certain star, one star. And he said, look at it through the telescope. It was two stars. And that fascinated me. You know, this guy was pretty sharp. He might have been a dairy farmer. And he was a believer. Sweet guy. But you know something? He built that telescope himself. He was not exactly without talent. I got an interest in the heavens and looking at all of these stars. How many of those stars out there that are just one in your naked eye, when you put a telescope on them, they would divide up again. And do you know some of those stars? They're galaxies of millions of stars. It looks to you as it's one star right up there in the heavens, such as the North Star. How about that? You can guide yourself over this earth if you can catch the North Star. That's something. How much is God in your mind? Do you ever really pray to him? Do you ever give your thoughts to God? He's awful smart. He's somebody so big, so smart. Oh, wow. And we see it in everything. In this bunch of animals that came down, we had all sorts of creeping things. Now, my wife liked to eat all sorts of things like that. She liked all sorts of strange things. I don't. No. You've heard me tell about the bikini restaurant in Quetzaltenango. She could go there. It was a Chinese restaurant right in downtown. And she could go there and get her some whatever food that they wanted. And they had a T-bone steak for 75 cents.
Wow.
Money was a little more scarce in those days. But at any rate, God Almighty has created some things, I think some of them we haven't even discovered yet. I imagine there's some animals out there in some of those bushes that if you looked at it, it would just change your mind. He said right here that his prayers and his alms were come up as a memorial before God. When you realize that God knows your every thought, he does. I don't know how he can do that with just the 9 billion people we got on the face of the earth today, or the 9 billion that have already gone on. But the Bible tells us he can. And as far as I'm concerned, what I seek in creation, he can do about anything he wants to do. We don't know what's out there. We don't know how far that is. We don't know how many things. Anyway, he went up on the housetop to pray. Peter did, about the sixth hour. There's a knock on the door, and somebody says, "Hey, we're looking for a fellow named Peter." Well, he's around here. He'd been up there and praying, and he had a strange trance. God brought before him a great sheet with all kinds of animals on it, and he let it down and put it in there and told Peter, "Slay and eat." No, Lord. I've never, he was a Jew. He had never eaten some of this stuff. Some of it was unclean. Some of it was against the law, the way he had it. And he said, the angel said, "What God hath cleansed, that doth call thou common." Isn't that something? What sort of things that you have your judgments about people or about circumstances or conditions? Are you always right? Most of the time you're wrong.
Yeah.
Most of the time you're wrong. Well, here's Peter. He's doing his duty as he does continually. He's going up and praying unto God Almighty, and all of a sudden he gets a trance. He gets something that a great big sheet comes down out of heaven, and it's got all these unclean animals on it, ones that Peter would turn his stomach to eat. It's like some of you, you're pretty picky. I don't like those creeping things. I don't like to eat scorpions. I have eaten snakes. But deer, buffalo, cattle, chickens, normal things. He said, "Not so, Lord. I have never violated that law." See, that was the Jewish law. And then this angel said, a voice, "What God hath cleansed." Did you know that God had cleansed it?
Amen.
What God hath cleansed? What God hath cleansed, don't you call common. Wow. This was done 3 times. He let that down. 3 times. It's something important. Now, Peter doesn't know what's going on. And while he's thinking about himself, he says he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Here come these people from this other town where Cornelius was. And these servants of Cornelius come up and they knock on the house door of, or the wall of Simon the Tanner. And he's looking for Peter. Well, he's here. So Peter heard what they had to say, and they said, "You know, our boss, our centurion that we serve, he had a vision from God. And they told him to call for you." Now, I want you to think about how strange this is, because it's something that's really big. There was an angel from God sent to the centurion's house, but he didn't give him the gospel. Could an angel give the gospel? Sure. The Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation of angels or men chosen by God going all over the world preaching. That angel could have given it to him, but he didn't do it. He sent him to Peter. Now, why Peter? Peter is an apostle. Peter is a witness. Have you ever thought about what in this beautiful old Bible right I got here? We've got the testimony of eyewitnesses. to Jesus Christ. They went with him from the baptism of John all the way to the cross and to the resurrection. And so, Peter was given to be a witness. And that's what's happening right here. We got a lost man up here, but he's a very religious man. And God has noticed in that he's in his alms and his prayers, and he sent his servants to them. He sent them to Peter. And Peter comes back with them and comes into the house. That message could have been given by an angel, but it wasn't. It was given by a witness chosen, prepared for 3 years, watching and living and talking and sleeping and eating with Jesus. He knew who he was. Peter even won denying him, and the Lord rebuked him. In fact, the Lord prophesied that he would deny him. And then Peter went down to his death. I understand, crucified upside down. Faithful to the Lord. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. I don't know about you, I've had some experiences that I doubted what they meant or why I had them or whatever. You had some dreams you probably had that you wondered why you dreamed that dream, why you thought that thought. You made some stupid mistakes that you wonder how could I have done it. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
I have. Well, while Peter thought on the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. All right. You've got a very religious guy here. Peter has been religious all of his life. He's a Jew, a faithful Jew. He's been following Jesus Christ now for 3 years. He's been preaching with him, and he's been witnessing to them. He's been standing up for him. He actually drew a sword and cut a man's ear off. He wasn't aiming for the ear, I'll tell you. He was aiming to cut a head off. He's proved himself all this time. He would have to have a little confidence from God to go with this man because he was a faithful Jew and you're not really supposed to go out with Gentiles. While he thought on the vision, the Spirit said, Behold, three men seek thee, arise and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. It's a wonderful thing when you know that you're doing the will of God. Amen. What a great confidence for Peter to get up and to go with them because of this vision that he'd seen about all these animals. And not wanting to violate his Jewish rules and living, God said, go with them doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So that made it good for him. Go with them doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, and he said, I am him whom you seek. What is the cause wherever you come, why you have come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. You ever thought about how important your words are? Sometimes we can't think of the right word, can we? Sometimes we have a problem just answering the thing, even just talking in a conversation. And especially when you're talking about witnessing to the Lord. People have so many ideas that when you walk into that house, you have no idea what you're going to confront. And sometimes we make mistakes. But you know, if we read the Word of God and give them the Word of God and give them our testimony about our salvation, we stay on pretty safe ground. I had a dear brother, a man named Gaylord Chisholm. He was a great soul winner. He had all kinds of Bibles, all versions, underneath the counter where he worked with servicemen. And whatever that soldier's religion was, he had their Bible. And he would pull it out and show him how to be saved. I had another fellow, Claude Bonham. We used to Hatch Avenue Baptist Church. He was a friend of mine. He would walk into a house. I visited many houses with him. He would ask them, "Do you have a Bible in the house?" "Well, yeah, go get it." They'd go get the Bible. Then he would show them John 3:16. Almost any Bible doesn't mess up John 3:16. And so he would open it up and he'd have them read the scripture from their own Bible. And then he would show them how to be saved. And when they had prayed and called upon the Lord and he knew they were saved, they were very, very, very comfortable with it. I saw him do it many times. He was a very talented soul winner. At any rate, Peter went with them. And they said, "Cornelius is a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto this house and to hear words of thee." You ever thought about how important the word is? How important it is that people can trust your word? How important it is to explain the word? Some little simple things people don't understand. Sometimes you got to walk in. I used to, because you don't get in many houses today. I used to walk in and turn the television off in their house. And then we'd talk about the scriptures and try to lead them to the Lord. And we won a few people that way. Words. Tell them words. That's what this book's full of, words. Amen. Billy was proving this morning that land is from God, from the Bible, the Jewish land. That's why they won't give it up. And that the conflicts, there are all sorts of conflicts. We are on a bomb all the time right now. All over the world. Isn't it a mess? When I see somebody and all these people slaughtered and killed and wow. I don't even know how to pray for them. I say, "Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how to pray for them." So there's lots of things we don't understand and we have a hard time dealing with it. Well, he had a vision in his house, and he was having a time dealing with it. He did exactly what God told him to do. "You send and bring this man in, and he's going to give you words." "Where are words of thee?" Look in verse 25. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him." Well, now there we go. This man is not a saved man. This man was a faithful man. He just was in the right corner because he was of the right God when he went with the God of the Jews. "Peter took him up saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.'" I'm just a man like you. I just know the words. I just have the experience. I walked with Jesus for 3 years. I went up there, I saw him crucified, and I've seen him resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
And I know the others that have seen him. And one time there's even 500 brethren saw him at once. Different ones, their testimony as they saw Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead. You know what that resurrection from the dead means? It means you can be saved.
Amen.
It means God accepted the sacrifice of the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for the sins of all the world, all mankind.
Amen.
No matter how old, bad you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are, God Almighty has prepared a way to save your soul.
Amen.
By the way, it's not all your prayers and alms. Here's a very rich man, good man. He prays regularly. He got on, but he's not saved. He needs Peter, and he needs the words that Peter had. And so Peter come in, and he gave it to him. And then Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." I want you to think about this. The Jewish culture really didn't teach that. The Jewish culture, what Peter was raised on, was that they were the people of God. And they were close to God, and God was using them. All of a sudden, he realizes this man is a Gentile. He's a centurion, a rich centurion, Roman. Romans were their conquerors. And he said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Wow. That's a big thought. That's a big thought. God is no respecter of persons. If you're pretty, it doesn't make anything, doesn't differ, it's not anything that God pays attention to. He's no respecter of persons. If you got money, same thing. If you're broke, poor as can be. That doesn't matter. God is no respecter of persons. "Of a truth, I perceive." Now, this is a great truth and given to Peter, and he's just learning it right now. Some of us haven't learned it yet. We respect certain people. We put certain people above. We put races above or below. We've got all sorts of opinions, and our opinions are like armpits. They all stink. He said, "Every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." "That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him."
Amen.
That's his message. You know about Jesus.
Amen.
And verse 39, the reason why you had to go get Peter was, "We are witnesses of all things." Which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly.
Amen.
Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead.
Praise the Lord.
This Bible was written by eyewitnesses. This Bible was written by somebody that met and knew the owner of the world. God Almighty prepared for himself a dozen, and even above 500, witnesses. Witnesses that saw him when he was alive, ate with him when he ate, slept with him when he slept. They were with him for 3 years. And he's going to use them to win the rest of the world. When you read that Bible, you're reading an eyewitness account.
Amen.
You're reading somebody that was there. Somebody that knew him while he was alive and saw him after he was dead. And saw him rise again. Wow. Do you believe him?
No.
I do.
Amen.
I believe this is the Word of God in English.
Amen.
It's a Bible. It has been such a blessing to the whole world.
Yeah.
It's the most printed book around. It'll give you comfort at times. I know some of you don't like to read, but I was sort of before television, and my daddy didn't get a television until I was 16. I saw television, great big box about so wide and about so high, with a little 7-inch screen. Cost $400 or $500. I had a neighbor, he had one. He would turn it around from his living room. He didn't let you in the house, but you could sit on his porch and watch television. He was the only one in the neighborhood that had a television. Fascinating thing. Milton Berle and Gonzalez Gonzalez in San Antonio. We've got a Bible that is valuable.
Amen.
And it's cheap. Do you know you can buy one of these in a grocery store? I got a Bible when I went in the Air Force. I got a New Testament from the Gideons. They gave me a New Testament when I went in the Air Force. Of course, I had a Bible at home. We were Christians, Christian family. Two things I believed from my family. That the Bible was the Word of God without error. And they were talking about the book was in the house. Not some Greek spoke 2,000 years ago. They were talking about this Bible right there that you have is the Word of God. Believe it. And that Jesus Christ was the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
I am so thankful for just those two things. A buddy of mine was killed on a run of mine, and it really affected me because I really wasn't worried about dying. I didn't have a lot of fear about dying. But when he took my truck and my run and blew up, wow, 20-year-olds can die. I began to read the Bible. I got saved. I accepted Christ. Changed my life.
Thank you, Lord.
I'd smoked since I was 5. Everybody in my house smoked except my mother. I drank and I cussed and I run around. Did a lot of fighting. But God saved my soul.
Amen.
And I knew enough about what the kind of life I was living that I quit smoking, drinking, gambling, and cussing in one day.
Amen.
Now, a few times I've felt bad about that because I'd have liked to go back to fighting. But I didn't. The last fight I had was when a mechanic hit me. When I smarted off at him, he said, "Those guys out on that flat line making $50 a day." I said, "Well, I'm not going to call you a liar, but the fellow you told you that was. Evidently, nobody told it to him." He hit me. Boom! You know what I remembered about Jesus? Turn the other cheek. I says, "Hit me one more time and I'll mop up the floor with you." That's my last fight. A day after I got saved. Like I said, every once in a while, I meet somebody I wish I still fought. It's a temptation. It's sort of like those cuss words that are in your head and you can't ever get rid of them.
Yeah.
And about all I knew in Spanish was cuss words. I knew what you were cussing me out because I lived on the south side of San Antonio in Burbank. I had a good knowledge of Spanish cuss words. Let me tell you, I came back from Guatemala, and I learned Spanish in Mexico and went to Guatemala and more. And I come back, and I started teaching school, and there's this little boy sitting right across from my desk. And he's a little smart aleck. And he's cussing me in Spanish. But he doesn't know that I speak Spanish. I listen to him, and he's stealing pencils and pens off of my desk. And he's a little smart aleck. So I let it go on a day or two, tried to talk to him reasonably and whatever. And then he cussed me out in Spanish. And all the kids are, you know, eighth graders. I reached over and grabbed him by his collar and pulled him over the desk in Spanish. I told him everything he called me. I told him about his stealing. And by the way, I took care of that by putting it in the closet and locking it. Didn't leave it on my desk anymore. And then I put him back down. You stand at your door to help the kids pass along, right? Watch out, Kincaid speaks Spanish. Watch out, Kincaid speaks Spanish. All day long. It was fun. I do believe in some kinds of torture. We're witnesses of all these things, verse 39, which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people. Notice that. That's an interesting phrase right there. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Prepared witnesses, 3 years in preparation. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Did you hear that? What is the testimony of Peter that he gives to Cornelius? Through the name of Jesus Christ, amen, you can have your sins forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. That is a big thing. That's something worth thinking about. Let me tell you what. Getting sins forgiven is a big, big movement. That's... I don't know how many times I continually thank God that he saved my soul. I thank God that he gave me the life that he gave me. I thank God that he saved me when he did, and that he's been with me all the time since then. I thank God for all the blessings that I've had. I thank God I was born in Texas.
Amen.
Even though I can't wear my boots because my ankle got too big. Are you thanking God?
Amen.
Do you have any reason to thank God? I called a person I know, and they're in pretty bad shape right now. And they were miserable, just miserable, miserable. Had a bad attitude. I didn't even know how to handle it because I didn't want to come down on him. And yet I wanted to be a testimony. No matter what shape we're in, I think you ought to be able to thank God if you're saved.
Amen.
The big question settled. Cornelius is a very religious man. He tithes. Maybe he didn't tithe. He gives alms. He helped out the synagogue. He prayed to God continually. Evidently, he thought the Jewish God was the real God, and he was right. But he wasn't saved. He needed to be saved.
Amen.
You can be very religious.
Amen.
You can have a very clean testimony. You can walk. You can be kind to people. You can help little old ladies across the street. Or you can help an old man. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, paying your debt to God, you're not saved. And that's what Cornelius needed to know. Now, God has all of your records down. You understand that? He has everything you think. Isn't that amazing? I don't even know why he wants to know what I would think. He offers to pray, answer the prayer. He wants me to tell him what I want. And I don't have enough sense to know what's good for me. Do you?
Yeah.
I don't think you do. Wow. And God wants to know what you think. God wants to get into your mind. He invites you to pray. One of the biggest doctrines in the Bible is prayer. How many prayers are written down for you in the Word of God with they prayed? And you could learn to pray like David. You could learn to pray like Isaiah, Moses. Wow. David has been the example of most people who they learn the 23rd Psalm and go to sleep quoting the 23rd Psalm or the 90th Psalm. The Word of God opens up us to the salvation with a complete forgiveness of sins and something you could never pay for. It is so big, you cannot imagine. To remove my sins from the east to the west, that's a long distance. They never meet. They never meet. To be buried in the depths of the sea, to be remembered against you no more, what a gift! And it is a gift. You do not deserve heaven, any one of you. You deserve hell, every sinking one of you. But God decided to be merciful. He did what no one else could do because He's eternal life. He came in the form of a baby. He lived a life in accordance with the laws. He died as a substitute to give you a gift. And the gift is eternal life. And that doesn't ever end. And when you take Christ as your Savior right now, you have eternal life. You're not waiting to get it. You got it. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, get to reading your Bible, why don't you? Find out some of these things. How about thanking God for that? How about every day getting up and saying, Lord, thank you that I got a night's sleep. Lord, thank you that I've got friends. Thank you that I've got children. Thank you that I've got a church. Thank you that I've got a Bible.
Amen.
We ought to be thanking God all the time as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
Because I see my life as being blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed in being born American and a Texan. I was blessed in getting a good wife for 60 years almost. I was blessed with a good father. Some of you didn't have a good father. I was blessed with a good father. Wow. And I was blessed when God gave me eternal life.
Amen.
When He gave me forgiveness of all my sins. Wow. I have been blessed. If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you just right now say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve anything. Forgive me, save me, change me. It's that simple. But you have to believe. You have to believe the promises in this old book. You have to believe the testimony of somebody like Peter. You have to believe the story of Cornelius. You have to believe that Jesus died in your place. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's two little words some of you may not like. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, that's not fair. No, it's not fair. But it's true. Nobody else paid your debt. That old thief on the cross, he's such a testimony. He was a scumbag. He deserved to be there. He was a wicked man. But he heard all these people criticizing Jesus down at the cross. He might never have seen Jesus any other time in his life, or never saw him perform a miracle. But he's listening to all these people. Himself, he cannot save. He saved others, he said. They're mocking. Himself, he cannot save. He claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be the King of Israel. And all of the people criticized him, whatever. And he just looked up and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, dying, tells him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. What a testimony for that old thief. He never got to give a public testimony in church. He never got to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. He never got to get baptized. He never got to preach a sermon. He just got saved by a gift.
Amen.
A gift from God. Oh, he's a beautiful testimony to me. That's the kind of message that Cornelius needed. That's the kind of message that Cornelius got. And now we have Roman centurions getting saved.
Amen.
Roman servants getting saved. Wow. Heavenly Father, thank you for so many blessings you've given us. Thank you that you hear and answer prayer. Thank you that you're merciful to sinners, that you forgive our sin and remove it as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. I want to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.